I don't know about you, Jasmine, but I have a pile of CDs that have been stacking up since we've been traveling and doing thematic shows. And I don't know if we're going to be able to catch up with all the great new music.
I think we are, but I have the same problem. I have a lot of music to go through. Actually, I had to wake up at like 6 a.m. this morning just to figure out what I was going to play on the show and what I was going to leave out because I have just so much.
Well, I stayed up late doing the same thing.
Yeah, right.
And I think we got a nice mix of stuff. From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst. And this is the song Vestido by Lido Pimienta and El Remolón. I don't know yet what you brought in, but I at least brought in a lot of very danceable tracks. And I think it's because maybe, you know, last week we had AJ Davila, the Puerto Rican rocker, and it was all like a lot of punk and a lot of garage rock. And I was just in the mood to switch it up a little bit.
So now you're in a dancing mood?
You know it.
So let's keep dancing, Jasmine. This track called Lost You.
This is by Twin Shadow. He's from Dominican Republic, raised in Florida, and I've been following him for a couple of years. He has like this very echoey 80s dark, almost like a goth ballad about him. What I like about him is he has this very eclectic background that he cites. He started off as a church choir boy, and he cites everything from Bob Dylan to the Beatles and Boyz II Men and Bobby Brown as a background. So he definitely puts in a lot of that very eclectic mix into his music.
I get to thinking at night that I should call you. I like to think about the first time that I saw you. Thinking about you as if I lost you. I get to thinking at night that I should call you. I like to think about the first time that I saw you.
Pull me near your load. When you clean up your hands,
curious to know what you think about this, Felix, because I know like this kind of in like almost like industrial 80s music is really not your style.
You are influencing me in ways that you have no idea. I am listening to things differently. You know, over the weekend, last week, I was able to get to California and visit with my family, and I hung out with two aunts of mine who were just slightly older than I am, and they were really pivotal in my music education as a kid because they were really into Motown and soul and all the top 40 stuff. They had stacks and stacks of 45s. They were into cumbia. They were into all the music. And, you know, any affinity I have for pop music is a result of hanging out and listening to their records. So I think, you know, I'm kind of falling back to, maybe I'm falling back to my roots of pop music and my own mental block of dance music is being slowly chipped away and eroded thanks to you and going back to my two tias.
My job is done. I was actually, the only reason I was doing this show is to get you to dance. But does this mean that when I go visit you in D.C., we're going to go, I don't know, go-go dancing?
I'll dig out my go-go boots.
That'll be great. We'll be the same height.
Oh my god, you're just saying you're on fire today. Not letting up. Oh my god. I got something. Remember this guy from Nicaragua? His name is Perro Sompopo?
Yeah, I do. I will always remember that name.
We've played his music before. He's got a new album coming out. It's called Mundo. And this is the title track from that album. Let me know what you think about this.
Espacio justo, mundo de tristeza, vanidad y soledad. Busco cómo no perderme en este mundo, cómo descifrar todo el absurdo de la guerra que me ataca el corazón. Mundo, cada vez que salgo por el mundo, busco cómo no perder el rumbo, cómo no perder oxígeno y paz.
Isn't it good?
Yeah, that's really good. At first, I wasn't so sure.
He brings a lot to the table. He's got a varied background, that whole Nicaraguan background. Spent some time in Miami, so you can hear all these different influences, the way the song sort of starts in the light reggae, but then that chorus with it, so almost
yeah,
like a heavy metal thing.
Yeah, the chorus is what makes it.
Yeah.
What makes it.
Yeah, no. Very eclectic, lots of different textures and sounds because he's using different rhythms. He's like he does on this track, combines, you know, heavy metal and a little bit of reggae. He's not afraid to mix it up. And I think that's what attracts me to his music and his voice. I like that almost yelping, you know, drastic,
like
energetic sound. Yeah. Yeah, right.
I think it's really cool when people do like just play with their you know, different types of vocals. I was just, I don't know why, this is totally random, but it reminded me of, you know, we've played a lot of Concha Huica, the great flamenco singer, on our show. And just, you know, that vocal style that she has. And it just reminded me that she told me that she had a teacher. She was in a choir when she was a kid. And this teacher kicked her out of the choir and said, "You sound like a yelping dog." And she was really little. And, you know, I remember saying, "Well, that must have really hurt your feelings." And she said, "No, I really like dogs." So I don't know, you know, vocal styles. It's just good to have a vocal identity that stands you apart.
Another artist with a distinct vocal style is coming up next, Rebel Diaz, something you brought in.
Yeah, and you know, you were talking about really mixing different kind of genres and styles. This is probably, as far as hip-hop tracks go, this is one of the more unusual ones. I mean, he's mixing, you know, obviously sounds of a police car. That's what patrulla means. But he's also kind of like mixing bachata elements with hip-hop beats. And I haven't really heard this type of track before. Check it out.
Eso se ocurrió en Nueva York. La patrulla, supuestamente contenía marihuana y crack, según la versión policial. La patrulla, en el video se ve claramente que no había nada. La patrulla me está vigilando. Con la mano de obra barata se construyó esta gran nación. La misma que hoy discrimina, mira a quien se le niega justicia. Ven, te invito, mira la cifra, tú y yo estamos la misma. Sin empleo te miran feo, pero no creo en el noticiero. El que quiere convencerte que viva la vida con miedo. Del negro, del emigrante, criminales que quieren matarte. Terroristas que están en la lista, cuidado que van a escucharte. Más bien es conquistarte, más fácil explotarte. La muerte o la cárcel, mira el caso de Trayvon Martin. La patrulla me está vigilando.
Isn't that, I mean, that's amazing, right?
What he's doing is he's taking the distinct sound, the finger-picking style of bachata, and it's not so syncopated. It's playing it as if it's like it's square. It's like it's like it has no rhythm. So he's slowing it down in a bit and playing it very, very rigid. But that gives it that almost that dangerous edge, because they're talking about these
Police brutality.
Police brutality, exactly. And he's using that. He changes that musical style to fit his message. Policía lo asesinaron. Oscar Grant tomaba el tren. El próximo día se casaba Sean Bell. Hilton Vega, Anthony Rosario, Anthony Valle lo mataron. Amaru Diallo only had a wallet. Trayvon Martin couldn't go to college. Rukia boy, Rukia boy. All I gotta say is Rukia boy. They killed that boy, King Money Great. And all these rappers got nothing to say. I guess it's okay that the girls go off, the kids get popped, the cops get off. Será por la forma en que me veo, por la forma de mi caminar. No sé, será por otro. Okay, now we're going to switch gears a little bit and bring in a guest to talk a little bit about hip-hop, Brazilian hip-hop to be exact, and to put a finer point to it, Brazilian rapper Emicida, who we've played here on the show before. NPR's South American correspondent Lourdes Garcia Navarro recently did a profile on Emicida, and she's here with us to share her story and tell us a little bit more about Emicida. Lourdes, welcome to Alt Latino.
Hi.
Now, we're going to play your story in a moment, but first, let's talk a little bit about how much he's been able to accomplish at such a young age.
Yeah, he is young, and he looks young. He's got this kind of baby face when he talks to you, but he has these soulful eyes, and they've seen a lot, and he has this wealth of experience, and the way he talks to you is just really sort of powerful. He's a very thoughtful guy. This isn't a guy who can't discuss his music or can't discuss world concepts. He really has a very clear point of view, and he has a lot of knowledge about where his music comes from and also just the history of Brazil and how that impacts musical traditions, racism, the dictatorship. It all comes in, and he just is a fascinating person to discuss music, but also just Brazil in and of itself.
Okay, now let's play the story and follow that up with a few more questions.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish. And that's Emicida, one of the biggest hip-hop acts from Brazil. NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro caught up with him in Sao Paulo, where he's from, to talk about why Brazilian hip-hop is so hot and why his music defies stereotypes.
28-year-old Emicida is a curious mix of rebel and poet. He was born Leandro Roque de Oliveira in the poor urban north of São Paulo, Brazil's vast, teeming economic capital. He got his stage name by being the killer of MCs in the rap battles in which he would participate as a teenager. In an interview with NPR, he says he grew up disadvantaged and black. He saw firsthand the racism and inequality that he feels defines Brazil.
Taking a position is always important, especially in a country like ours, where oftentimes people don't take a stand and they allow important political moments to pass without notice, as if they didn't happen. But it has to be organic. It can't be a marketing strategy.
He says he grew up as the son of an activist, so speaking about social issues comes naturally to him. The raw anger is clear in songs like Finger in the Wound in particular. He raps in Portuguese, Black Fury Rises Again, Auschwitz or the Ghetto, Indigenous or Black, the same end, extermination, because their justice only hunts those who wear flip-flops. And they are the victims, he says, but the aggression of people wearing uniforms is legitimate. Butchers win prizes in the land where babies breathe tear gas, he says. In 2012, he was arrested at a concert for asking his fans to flip the finger at the military police who were securing the event and to the country's politicians after singing that song. But his childhood also taught him something else that makes his music unique.
I've always been fascinated by words because they were my door to the world. I had a terrible TV at home. It never worked. My mother had some books, so I started discovering the world by reading. I never detached from that. For me, words have a fascinating strength. They make a connection. They create the energy of places. They're the most wonderful tool human beings ever created because they make that connection.
In the song Street Dogs Anthem, he raps, from old black men, from philosophy, pretty words or poetry. Calm down, wake up, be happy. Clap, my soul is still a bohemian slave. He not only brings poetry and the streets to his work, but also Brazil's many musical traditions, namely samba. His rap and the drumbeat of samba meld to create something almost hypnotic at times. A great example of that is the song Chrysanthemum, about the death of his father during a bar fight. He sings, "Life is but a detail. It is everything, it is nothing, it is a game that kills." He tells me mixing musical traditions is what Brazil is all about, as it's always been a cultural melting pot.
Então o que a gente faz aqui quando eu falo sobre essa nova atmosfera, essa atmosfera da música brasileira.
There's a new atmosphere here, and it's all about Brazilian music. It's not exactly bossa nova, it's not jazz. It could have some influences from American soul and American hip-hop, but it redefines itself with characteristics of the music we have here, the instruments we have here. People sample what is nearest to them, and it is creating almost a new musical genre.
But perhaps what makes Emicida's music so popular is that he speaks to a generation here that has seen such rapid change, more money, more jobs during the last 10 years of economic boom. He sees the difference, he says, in the shanty towns. People are getting an education, college degrees. But the youth here, he says, are still discriminated against, still stymied by the ghosts of the past. There is a minority, he says, that is very interested in reproducing Europe here or reproducing America inside Brazil. This curbs all creative strength. Brazil's people are extremely creative, he says, extremely willing. This is the moment to deal with the open wounds that are the monster inequalities we have inside Brazil, he says, so we can diminish the distance between the minority and the majority somehow. I think this should be the moment for Brazil to address what's happening, he says. Lourdes Garcia Navarro, NPR News, São Paulo.
Now, before we let you go, Lourdes, you've been covering Latin America for a while. You've been visiting different countries. Have you heard what we've heard here, that hip-hop and rap are being used by musicians to express themselves on social conditions in Latin America?
No, it is actually very common to have rap be political, and there are political messages. I mean, if you think all music is political, right, and people are speaking of their reality, and if you speak to Emicida, he's very excited about this concept because he says basically, listen, we are talking about our own experiences, and our own experiences are often political experiences. We talk about oppression. We talk about racism. We talk about a lack of opportunity, poverty. And that is the things that we experience. And so that has a powerful message to impart. I mean, one of the things that I really brought up to him was exactly this kind of difference between his music and what you hear and see in traditional hip hop in the United States. You know, he doesn't go in for a lot of sort of what is traditionally seen as misogynism. He doesn't put women down. He doesn't discuss, you know, sexual stuff, for example. First of all, he says he has a daughter. And secondly, he says he's gone through a lot of different religious experiences. He was raised a Christian. He became a very devout Christian. Now he's into the traditional Brazilian religion, Candomblé. So he's had a lot of sort of metamorphosis over the years. And so the things that inspire him, he says, aren't necessarily these traditional things that you see in other parts of the world. He is inspired, of course, by American hip hop. That's where hip hop was born. But he's made it into his own thing, and he thinks that he has a voice and something to say.
Lourdes, how did you come to his music? Because your background as a journalist is not necessarily covering music. I mean, you've reported extensively from the Mideast, in various parts of Latin America, all over the place. You're what we call a hard news journalist. But how did you come to his music and get drawn into what he's doing?
Well, I mean, what's really exciting, I think, about what's happening in Brazil right now is that you saw that there was this massive wave of protests about a year ago over unhappiness because of spending on the World Cup stadiums. Brazil's about to host the World Cup this summer, and then they're going to be hosting the Olympic Games. And there was just this massive outpouring of just outrage on the streets, young people, old people coming out and saying, you know, we really want to change things in Brazil. We're really unhappy with the way things are. And you saw people come from different parts of society, and definitely musicians were one of them, and they sort of participated in a way. And I had, you know, a conversation with Emicida because he's been a longtime activist in a sense. He's always had political lyrics. He's always talked about, you know, oppression and spending and how the police treat people in the poorer areas. Sure. And so I was curious to see what he had to say about the World Cup, what he had to say about these protests. And it was very interesting. He said, listen, I'm not against the World Cup. There have been a lot of artists in Brazil who've come out against the World Cup and said, we don't want to host it. We think it's a, you know, waste of time. He says, I'm a Brazilian. I grew up and watching World Cup football. I love our team. I'm not going to be someone saying that we're not the World Cup. And he says, one of my big concerns is exactly that. I'm concerned that, you know, people are jumping on this bandwagon to give themselves some authenticity, to give themselves some street cred. And then once it's all over, they're gonna, you know, they're gonna forget about the real issues that Brazil faces. And so he says for him, this is a long-term thing. You know, he's committed to talking about these social issues. The people who follow his music are an interesting generation. It's a generation in flux, and I think his music really speaks to that.
Lourdes Garcia Navarro is NPR's correspondent in Brazil, and she has very graciously volunteered to be our girl on the ground, as she said in an email, reporting back to us from Brazil on things musical and cultural. And she's sitting across from me right now here in D.C., but she's soon to go back to Brazil and start hitting the ground and looking for stories to cover for Alt Latino and for NPR, but for Alt Latino.
Alt Latino first. Primero y último.
Okay, let's get back to the music. This is called Salvadora Robot from the album of the same name. It's by the Meridian Brothers, my favorite avant-garde Colombian band.
This also has kind of like a little bit of soca elements in it, wouldn't you say?
What they did on this album is they wanted to do more pan-Latin stuff. So rather than just concentrate on rhythms and folk rhythms that come from Colombia, they're looking across the Afro-Caribbean, they're looking Latin America, different parts of South America. They really mix it up this time, and they're bringing in a lot of different influences. And they're still, I think you could still call it a little weird. Happy weirdness. I don't know what it is about. I had a lengthy email conversation with a friend of mine about this. She thought this album is like a one-trick pony, just weirdness for the sake of weirdness. You know, I guess it could be perceived as that one-trick pony, but you know what? I like the trick that he's doing.
Soy un robot elegante que no quiere sufrir. Tenemos la industria que supera lo que hay acá. Si no me devuelven me voy a enfadar y voy a cambiar mis comandos. Me voy a trabar y voy a escapar con la pistola de mi patrón. Déjenme ya escapar porque tengo el poder. Al final todo mundo mirará mi sombra maligna. Ha 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 ha
Next in, I brought a track by a group called Viento Callejero. They're from Los Angeles. They just recently raised enough money through crowdsourcing to release their album. They've been working on it for a while. This track is called La Burrita. Let's listen to the track, and then I'll tell you who the members of the band are, because you're going to recognize some of them.
That's really good. I like that.
The guitar was front and center on that track, and it's played by a woman by the name of Gloria Estrada. Gloria Estrada was the guitar player, the original guitar player in La Santa Cecilia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And she got together with a guy named Gabriel Villa, who plays drums with another group that I really like called Chicano Batman, right? And a guy named Federico Zuniga, who plays bass with a band from the Bay Area called Sistema Bomb. They are Viento Callejero. And like I said, they recently raised money by asking people to write in and donate and help them raise the money to release the album. You know, they are part of that really very fertile Chicano Renaissance musical scene happening in Southern California, where they're mixing son jarocho, they're mixing cumbia, they're mixing rock, they're mixing all this stuff. In the early versions of La Santa Cecilia, she really stood out because her guitar style is very, very distinct. And she's an accomplished guitarist, but I think her style fits into that folk-based music in a way that a lot of guys really don't pull off. And I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of the album once they get it all together.
I really like this. This is so cool. What's the band?
They're called Viento Callejero.
Street Wind.
And since it's all a form of Mexican music in one way or another, I guess you can say it's a reflection of a little bit of Mextasy, right?
Very nice, Felix.
How's that for a segue?
This is a great way to end the show. This is a song, I think, you know, every show we should have, you know, the track that I've been listening to kind of nonstop for the last couple of days prior to the taping. And this is definitely one. This is a Mexican rapper called Simpson El Huevo that this is not a new track, but it is one of my favorite tracks of his. And this is called Mextasis. You can hear every song that we've played on the show today in its entirety on our website at npr.org/altlatino. And follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We're NPR's Alt Latino.
Don't forget about Alt Latino Radio, our 24/7 stream. You can hear that at nprmusic.org.
So, Felix, would you say you're like a many tricks pony?
Yes, I am Felix Contreras, the many trick pony.
Caballito.
Oh, chicken party.